Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome today to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I am here with Mark Johnston. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great. Heather, how about you?
I'm doing good. It's been a whirlwind of a summer, but so much fun. So today we're talking about a very requested topic from all of our incredible members here at the Thriving Marriage and those listening to our podcast, which is going really deep into healthy boundaries and how to set them. So today, Mark and I were going to share with you why setting healthy boundaries is actually a positive thing, never really a negative or punishing action to you or your spouse, and then how to set these healthy boundaries so that we don't push our spouse further away, but we actually draw them closer to us and create greater safety and security in the relationship. I'm really excited for this today. But before we get to all of that, we're going to share our client's win of the week. This is one I just got today from Doug. And I wanted to share this because it's not our typical type of win that we normally share. And I wanted to show kind of the full picture of what this process looks like for those that go through our PATH method and apply the principles that you all are learning here. So Doug says, you are amazing, Heather. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. And he goes on to say that you've taught us how to get through both times and not focus on the negative. Focusing on gratitude has changed my life. I didn't get my spouse back. However, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And I know I will remain happy because of what you taught me. I have a new unselfish needing relationship. Needing that it meets his needs, right? And this is so natural and joyful. I couldn't have ever imagined it without your help. Forever grateful. And he shared a picture here of him with his new relationship. And he wanted to highlight this point here. I've moved on after the repeated lies and cheating without remorse. My lines were crossed. This program is the best ever. It doesn't guarantee your spouse to return, but if you do the program and believe in it, you will be the best you could ever be. Then you will know how to be the best partner ever. Now everyone has their own lines of no return. My spouse crossed my boundaries many times without remorse. So we're gonna go on here. So we are co-parenting well. I found a new relationship that has God at the center and we are both so unselfish and we meet each other's needs. I couldn't have had any good relationship without the help of Heather and Mark. I salute anyone fighting for their spouse behind the lines. I hit my limit, not the limit of the program. I still refer back to the program and have made lifelong friends in the group. I will be forever grateful to all of you and will always... You all will always be my family. I pray for you often. And he said, I support all of you in your decisions in your life as long as they are forward moving. Love you all. So I wanted to share this because it ties in really, really well with learning how to set healthy boundaries, as well as giving the big picture perspective. You know, Mark and I, what we do is we take on relationships that are really struggling. We call ourselves the ICU of marriage. And just like you would go to the ICU, if you were like had a bleeding neck, there wouldn't be a guarantee that your life would be saved. However, you would know you're in the very best hands possible. And so while we don't ever promise to save a marriage, that is our, of course, our goal, but it's really at the end of the day to help you become a better version of yourselves. So I thought that was really important to bring that perspective that Doug gives here and all of his support. And you can just hear it in his voice. You can just see how far he's really come. Okay. And at the end of the day, that's so worth it.
For me, I mean, I'm glad you shared this one because, you know, I'm just going to share something personal. You know, when I work with all of our clients personally, I sometimes hold myself a little bit responsible for some of the outcomes. And so just hearing some of these, some of the statements like this, knowing that you and I, Heather, have helped people, even though, you know, it might not be the outcome that they first came to us for, knowing that their lives are better off, it it just kind of touched me a little bit that, you know, we're still able to do some really good work with people and they come out much better on the other end. And for that, I mean, that's exactly what we're here for. I really am glad that you picked this one this week. It was good.
Yeah. We focus a lot on intention and having an intention yourself and for your relationship. Well, Mark and I, our intention is to leave every life better than when we found it. And if we can do that in any way, big or small, then that's a win and a victory to us. So let's jump in here to healthy boundaries. And I know a lot of you have been asking for this and a lot of you are really excited to learn about this, what they really are and how to set them. And I just want to let everyone know that's a subscriber of ours that we will be sending you our guide, Anatomy of a Healthy Boundary. So make sure you go and check that out. It's going to hit your inbox here in the next 24 hours. If you aren't a subscriber, then just go over to thrivingmarriagepodcast.com/subscribe and you can join our newsletter where we give really great guides and value to you guys over there as a thank you for being in our community. So without further ado, Mark, when people are thinking about boundaries, what do they usually think of and how do most people kind of view a boundary?
Well, I'm glad you asked this question because this is the whole reason why we decided to do the podcast on this, right? Is because there seemed to be such a misconception about boundaries, even with the people that we work with. But like, you know, when we talk about boundaries, we have so many comments to say, well, I tried to put up some boundaries and it just makes them mad. I tried to put up boundaries and they just won't listen to me. And, you know, having all these problems with boundaries. And what I started noticing, I started kind of tallying, keeping track in my mind, okay, how are people actually viewing these boundaries? And I was both surprised, but, you know, at the same time, it makes sense. Because you and I, we talk about this all the time. No one actually teaches us these things. We have to learn it a bit for ourselves. And so it makes sense that most people are not viewing boundaries in a healthy way. But I would see that people would see boundaries as punishing. You know, we have our kids here. You know, I think it's really easy to kind of draw some analogies from parenting. You see your kids doing some poor behavior, you say, you can't do that. And when they keep doing the behavior, there's the punishment. And we kind of think, okay, that's the same sort of mentality we should have with our partner. It's punishments because they're not doing what we tell them to. Which I think, of course, that's not going to go in a healthy direction. From the other end of the fence, so the other end of the spectrum, you know, the people who are experiencing those boundaries, especially those older teenagers, they might see it as a way to control. And so the kids might say, okay, well, this is my parents are so controlling. They keep telling me what to do. Or even our spouse, as we are trying to set boundaries, that I imagine a lot of you have probably heard that complaint that, okay, you're just trying to control me. I've also seen some really unhealthy situations where it's kind of turned into a bit of a battle of wills where it's like, who is going to back down first? I've drawn this line and it absolutely demands this behavior, and you've drawn that line and it demands this other behavior, and who's going to back down first? Or they see it in terms of just restrictions, lines. Anyways, the general theme here is that boundaries, a lot of people see boundaries as something negative or a response to something negative, and doesn't have to be that way. I do think that an actual healthy boundary could be a collaborative approach. You know, you can have some collaboration there, cooperation, as you have those clear expectations and understanding. It's about moving towards a healthy position. And if you're doing it right, it doesn't actually have to involve any arguments. So I don't know. You've seen comments, right? You've talked with some of the clients, Heather. I mean, I imagine you've seen some of these same misconceptions, haven't you?
Right. Well, what brings to my mind, I'll call her Susan, just for protection of privacy. But I remember Susan her husband was an alcoholic and was very volatile. And she was terrified to set some healthy boundaries. I mean, every time she would talk to him about things that kind of pushed his buttons or, you know, he viewed as threatening or whatever, he would get very angry and yelling, name calling, swearing, and some really unhealthy behavior. And we knew that in order for their relationship to progress, that kind of negative behavior needed to stop. Same thing with affairs. Mm-hmm. If your partner is thinking that they can have an affair and still have a sexual relationship with you, that's an unhealthy situation. And we need to create some healthy boundaries there. And so many times I can remember not only Susan, but other people that we talked about, especially with the affair that I mentioned, they're terrified to set that healthy boundary. They're afraid of the reaction of their spouse. They're afraid of negative consequences, thinking that it's going to push them further away. They're really afraid to do that because they think, if I say no, I'm not going to stand for this anymore, and my spouse is already saying I'm done, I'm either moving on to a relationship with a different person, or I'm wanting a divorce. And I'm thinking about this alcoholic situation, right? That he wanted a divorce. He was checked out. He didn't want to work on a relationship. And she was so afraid that if she said that, first of all, he was going to blow up and that it wasn't going to serve her. It was going to push him further away. And so it's really normal and natural. I think that when you're in that situation, there's a lot of fear about the repercussions of what happens. But having seen so many people and couples work with us, Mark, it's incredible that it's actually the most healing step that happens in a very unhealthy situation. And the kind of results that we see is that people that after they set this healthy boundary, they talk about having so much more self-respect and so much more confidence in themselves to be able to say, now I'm not going to stand for this unhealthy behavior anymore. And then the relationship takes a turn. It really does. It takes a really positive turn, even though it's probably one of the hardest things to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And even having to set some healthy boundaries with a relative just this past week was seriously so hard, but I knew I had to do it. And when you make that choice, that's when healing really occurs. And it's incredible to see the turnaround in relationships when this happens in the right way. So let's talk a little bit more about that. What is the right way then to set a healthy boundary? Well,
before we even go on, I think what you mentioned there was really important. And this we could almost even have a side branching discussion here. I'm not going to get too far into this tangent, but of why the boundaries are needed there in the first place. You're talking about how people be getting upset, so it's hard to set boundaries. And it gets into this discussion of patterns and what actually creates these situations in the first place. And really, the patterns where these boundaries are necessary, it's not really healthy for either partner. You know, it's not healthy for one partner to get upset and ultimately avoid problems. It's also not healthy for the other partner to feel disrespected and feel like they can't voice their opinion. And so exactly what you're saying there, this can bring a lot of healing, even though it's hard at first. And I will tell people this 100% of the time. When you start setting these boundaries in the right way, you will see some resistance. And, you know, this is why it's helpful to get some direct advice, get some help on this, because the first reaction that many people have when they see this resistance is to back off. And that's not really the right way to go. But anyways, you had another question there, Heather, right? What actually makes for a healthy boundary? Yeah. So I came up with this a while back, and, you know, I will shift around my material, tweak it here and there. I will play with it to make sure that it's like the absolute best material ever. But you know what? This is one of the few things that I have not changed since I came up with it, just because it just works. So we're going to go over the anatomy here. And like Heather, I think you mentioned earlier, we're sending a little PDF guide of this in the newsletter. This is what we're talking about in that guideline here. So I'm just going to list off the four pieces here that are needed, and then let's discuss it a bit. So we have a need for clear expectations. We need to have an understanding of why the line is being crossed or what's basically wanted by the person who is, you know, exhibiting that behavior that where we need a boundary. We need some healthy alternatives, some ways for both of you to get what you want, and we need some appropriate consequences. I don't know. What do you think here? Because I think on each of these points, I see problem when people are trying to set boundaries. I see problems on each of these points in different cases. You know, specifically with that first one, that clear expectations. What do you think is the most common problem that people have, or people in a couple have, in terms of setting some expectations here?
Yeah, let's see. So I guess the first thing that came to my mind was the appropriate consequences, actually.
Sure. Well, why don't you talk about that all the rest of it?
And it'll lead to the clear expectations.
Sure.
So one of the biggest mistakes that I've made in my own parenting is that we make an emotional statement and we think that it's a boundary. Okay, I'll say something like this. If you don't clean your room, you're never going to the pool again. Okay, like sometimes we get really emotional and reactive and we'll throw out a statement like that. Or if you don't leave this other person, then I'm taking the kids, right? And we'll make this huge emotionally charged declaration and thinking that now we have to stand by that. And that only creates further kind of chaos in a relationship, and those things tend to escalate. And so I think it's really important that we have appropriate consequences and that we avoid the common mistake of saying something emotionally and then thinking that that's now a boundary. Saying, if you don't do this, then I'm going to go do this, right? Or if you don't stop this, then this. And it's not appropriate, it's actually not well thought out, and there aren't clear expectations around it. So the whole thing is flawed, but then we move forward from that point, right? We see that then people try to stand by it.
Lots and lots of people start off with the consequences first. And I think what it does is it backs people into a corner. It's like, you're going to have to agree with me. You're going to have to agree with what I'm saying right now, or you're going to be punished. And is there really a right answer to that sort of situation? There's not. You know, because we're not approaching it with the other pieces here. We're not approaching it with that understanding of why they might be doing what they're doing. This has been a hard lesson for me as well. Like, so right now, my wife, Jen, and I are struggling with our young son. He's six. And, you know, we thought we were amazing parents because our first two kids were easy. And they were really calm and, for the most part, got along there. And here along comes our third child. And he's got a will of his own. and doesn't always get along with his siblings, you know, his next oldest and next youngest one. So it was really easy for us to say, well, this kid is being bad. He needs to go in timeout. He needs to be punished. And that really wasn't going anywhere. Like, we could see that he was getting more and more upset as we did things like that. And because we were missing something here, we were missing that understanding about why he was doing what he was doing. And this is where we've really come through and made the situation better, is when he's getting upset and he's trying to throw things at his siblings. And instead of getting angry at him, we come and try to sit with him in that emotion for a bit and try to understand what's going on, is where we really get into this. But we're kind of jumping around with some of these steps. And I really feel like this is something that should be ordered a little bit. Otherwise, I think, you know, like we were just talking about, if you start off with the punishments or the consequences, it doesn't really go in a good direction. So starting off with the clear expectations, what I mean by this is, I see a lot of times when people they feel like their spouse should know what they want. And, you know, I call this, you know, it's mind reading. They say, well, my spouse should be able to know what I want. They know me well enough. We've been married this long. If they're not doing what I want, then it must be because they're being mean, or they, something along those lines. And I just really think that having the expectations communicated clearly and having your intentions communicated clearly really helps with at least starting the process of this. I know for me, I don't know about you, Heather, but I know for me, there's many times when I've set my own expectations without communicating it to Jen. And we get into arguments, and later on, I'm like, you know what? I didn't actually tell her what I was looking for here. And so I shouldn't be upset with all this. But I don't know. Do you see that at all in your marriage?
Absolutely. Yeah. Having those, just clear expectations. This is what it means, and this is why. We got a really good comment here that I want to dissect after we go to the next point. But we can't be mind readers. We can't expect our spouse to be a mind reader. And so just being really clear up front and showing forth that understanding, like you mentioned, is so crucial. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because when we tie it back in with our PATH method, we always say that we solve problems in order. And until you've established that level of perspective and understanding, then setting healthy boundaries, it may or may not be the right time. It depends on what the situation is. It really warrants an individual kind of approach and what is actually going on. There are some things that are absolutely not okay, and you need to have a strong, healthy boundary right away for the protection of you and potentially your children. However, if it's maybe more like an affair or something like that, then it's really crucial that you know when it's the right time to have that boundary set in place. And you do that by having that understanding and then being really clear about your expectations.
Yeah. So this is where I think our philosophy kind of differs from what most people do. Because I mean, Heather, we emphasize a lot about trying to understand very difficult situations, even when someone's not behaving how they probably should, right? And this is where I think most people miss the mark with boundaries, is trying to understand why the other person would be engaging in some destructive behavior. Like I said, with my son, taking the time to understand why he's upset, I started to understand him a bit better. And I started to understand that he himself feels rejected by his siblings a lot. He doesn't feel understood himself a lot. And so it becomes more understandable about why he might be getting upset with his sisters, and why he might be lashing out. And not that it's acceptable, but understanding why people are doing what they're doing is really important. Because here's the secret, people. Most people don't do things just for no reason at all. Most people are not random. And this is, like I said, this is where people miss the mark. They say, my husband's having an affair, he's doing something wrong, he's a bad person. Or my wife is doing this to me, it's because they're a bad person. And so, there's this inherent judgment without trying to understand things before they start drawing those lines. And I think that's why a lot of these boundaries often fail, is because they don't address what's actually wanted here. I'm just trying to think of, maybe another example with this. You're talking about Susan, right, earlier?
Yeah.
And Susan with her husband who would drink. Now, we could just say Susan's husband shouldn't drink, and so this is the boundary. And sometimes it does have to come to that, but at the same time, after talking with her, we also understood that Susan's husband had a really hard time with dealing with stress in his life, and this is why it was so difficult for him to set aside some of the drinking. Now, not to say that, okay, maybe it's okay then for him to drink. This is why we have the other step here, those healthy alternatives. But this is a crucial step if you're going to be able to actually offer real alternatives, not just your way and, putting yourself, your spouse in that poor position of either agreeing with you or being wrong. You know what I mean?
We got a comment here, putting myself in his shoes and her shoes gave me great understanding of the affair. It still hurts, but it helps me a little in finding the reasons why. Mm. And that's exactly it. Having that understanding is one of the most healing things that you can do for yourself. I'm not going to go into a ton of detail, but I was very, very deeply hurt. And the mama bear in me came out this last weekend with a family member who is very critical and I would say emotionally abusive towards one of my children. And it hurt a lot. And it was very difficult to explain to my children why someone that we love would treat them that way, to the point where we actually ended up leaving our trip early as a healthy boundary because we recognized that this person isn't going to just suddenly turn around and change. And I shared with them this exact concept because we were all hurting. And at the end, we were more hurting for her. I went through kind of her upbringing, abusive father, who always put her down, and some very severe mental and emotional trauma that happened that then has led to certain triggers in her life that has caused her to sometimes act in very unhealthy and harmful ways to other people that she loves a lot and that we still love her. And when we were able to focus on that and put ourselves in her shoes, just like was said here in this comment, that is when we're able to have compassion. And instead of being so angry and so hurt, we're now more sad and compassionate for her and the things that she's gone through that would cause her to act in such a way. And I know that the people have gone on the same journey, whether it's a pornography, an affair, an addiction, you know, verbal, emotional abuse, anything like that, that then when you finally realize what's driving that behavior, then you can have a lot of compassion and understanding for why it's happening in the first place. And then when you have that understanding, you can start to come to our next step here, which is healthy alternatives, right? Mm-hmm. Healthy alternatives, which would be ways for both of you to get what you want.
Yeah, like the, in the cases of affairs, this is always a difficult thing. Like you were talking about, or that comment there that you just shared brought something up that was really important. Like the person was commenting when they're able to put themselves in their sound like their husband and their affair partner's shoes, there's a lot of healing that can be done. And being able to understand why your spouse might have gone into that affair, you really need that information in order to actually be able to offer something different. Because it would be so simple to say, this is my line, you can't have an affair or else I'm leaving. But once again, that kind of puts the offending partner in a really terrible position where they have to either give up something that's meeting some needs and be wrong or continue hurting their partner. It's just a terrible spot to be in. And this is why these healthy alternatives need that understanding. We've helped several cases with affairs, haven't we, Heather?
Oh, yeah.
And in each one of these cases, it was because there was a lot of understanding given, and then we were able to meet the needs that were missing in the relationship before we ended the affair. Right?
Absolutely.
So, go ahead. You were saying something?
I had some interference there. Go ahead and finish your thought there, and then I want to go to this comment.
Okay, sure. What I'm saying here is what this is about here is about giving people a healthy way out. And, you know, giving them an actual choice rather than saying it's my way or the highway, because no one likes being in that position. So, and, you know, I keep going back to my son because this is something I'm dealing with right now. So my son, who's not feeling understood and is feeling rejected by his siblings because they're doing other things. And, you know, I went to him and I said, hey, so you're getting upset and you're throwing things. And that's not really working. And it seems like you really want to be able to play nicely with your siblings. So I said, I want you to help me come up with some ways that you can play with them and not get upset. And we can, you know, help all of you play together. And so because I sat there with him, and because I actually took the time to understand him, he was actually, even though he's six, he was able to articulate some ideas and be involved in the process. He supplied me some healthy alternatives because I took the time to understand him. And that's what this is really all about. It becomes so much easier when we have that understanding. Anyways, you had a comment here that looks really good.
Yeah. This comment is this a good boundary? Asking us here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. I cannot continue to be intimate with you if you are intimate with other women. It makes me feel disrespected, and I want us to rebuild respect for one another and for ourselves.
That's a really, really good question. Now, I'm going to say that I'm going to give kind of the whole picture here. If you're setting a boundary like this, on the one hand, it is limiting some ability to connect. At the same time, it's protecting this person from being hurt because their spouse is, you know, being intimate with this other woman. If I had to go one step even better than this, I think it's a good starting point. If I had to go one step better, I would be offering some ways for there to be some connection. As long as there is some cooperation here. So maybe if they're not sleeping together, maybe there are other ways to connect until this commenter feels safe. Because we're always looking for, you know, how do both parties get what they're looking for here? And I was actually just talking with my wife earlier today about boundaries and how sometimes the consequences or the line that's given, sometimes it hurts ourselves. Like we cut off our connection to feel safe. And it doesn't always have to be that way. So it's a good start. I think it could be slightly better, but it's actually a really, it sounds like it's coming from a good place here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the clear expectation and understanding for why the line is being crossed, highlighting the need to both respect yourselves is a great step. Because yeah, then they'll understand that it's not you're bad, and so I'm punishing you, right? It's that we need to build self-respect. I still want to have connection with you, so maybe we can try, you know, these other ways, these other activities, because I still want.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is that right there, I didn't address it, and it is perfect. It's really making clear the intentions here. And it's setting the expectation for both of them that this is a situation that is not respectful, and she's looking for both of them to have respect for each other. So in that regard, I think, you know, it is a really great place to start. So anyways, we have those healthy alternatives, and we've circled back around. We started with consequences. We're coming back to consequences. I don't know. Do we need to add anything on here? We did kind of talk about it for a bit, but I still think that I feel like there's more we can add on to this.
I agree. Appropriate consequences. This is where it's really hard. This is something that we're not really taught. We're just kind of modeled by our parents who gave us consequences, and now we're giving our spouse consequences, right? And so we need to make sure that they're appropriate, that they're leading towards something healthier, that they're creating safety for both you and your spouse as you start to change whatever unhealthy situation has been going on. And I'm thinking about a step towards something more healthy with another client. We'll call her Sandy. And Sandy's husband was not an alcoholic, but had a temper and would get very angry and volatile and would say very cruel things to her. And it got to the point where she had no sense of self-worth anymore. She didn't feel like she was good enough. She didn't feel like she was worthy. She didn't feel like she was worth anything. In fact, when he would say these very derogatory and unhealthy things toward her, she would agree with him. She would say, you know what? You're right. I am that. And that's where she came to us. She was very broken. And we had to work on her mindset and building up her belief in her true self, that she was deserving of love. She was deserving of respect. And she would talk to me week after week, and she would say that she would work on these things and she would work on this new conditioning. And sometimes she would literally shut herself in her bathroom when her son was sleeping and like shout them to herself, trying to get herself to believe them. And it got to the point where then she was ready to say no more to him, no more will I let you talk to me like this. And the appropriate consequence was that she would leave. She would leave the room, she would leave the conversation, and she would stop the cycle that they were in. And he was getting some kind of reward out of that. Wouldn't you say, Mark? I mean, he was engaging in it. He wanted to communicate with her. He wanted to continue down this unhealthy behavior. It was fueling some, you know, something in him was driving him to keep doing this behavior. And so when she would say no more and she would remove herself from the situation, that was an appropriate consequence that led to something healthier. It showed him very clearly, I won't stand for this anymore. I have respect for myself. I won't let you treat me like this or treat me like this in front of my son. It's not okay. And she would then follow through with that consequence. And it was challenging at first, but as she did it, she gained so much self-respect for herself, so much more self-love. And he started to change his language toward her. He started to say that you are good enough. You are beautiful. I love you. And I want this to work. And it had ups and downs. There was definitely that teeter-totter effect of it, of the old patterns coming back, because they don't just change overnight. You don't just undo years of that kind of cycle. But given time, things, we definitely saw a huge improvement there. So I hope that that articulates clearly. It's hard to share an entire person's, you know, month of journey in a few sentences with you. But she stayed strong and she knew that this healthy boundary was needed for her sake and her son's sake, and that she needed to build up her self-respect. And she stayed strong and she enforced it. And then we started to see a lot of healing and improvement in their communication.
So we talked a lot about basically the structure of a boundary, but I really think that I'd like to just kind of finish up this discussion with the importance of boundaries, because, you know, this is such a hard thing to implement, because people, you know, the whole reason why there's this unhealthy behavior is it fits somewhere in the relationship. It sounds odd, but like the unhealthy behavior is benefiting some people in some ways. It's hard to break away from that. You know, a lot of times it's just simply easier to not address problems, not to really put these walls up. It's just easier to avoid things, but I really want to hit home on why this is important. And so, Heather, I just want to ask you if there's been a time when maybe you've had to implement some boundaries in your own marriage, whether that's major boundaries or minor boundaries.
I think that the boundaries have been more on my part. I'm going to be perfectly honest. That I was engaging, and I mentioned this before in the podcast. If you haven't heard this, always go back. We always recommend going back to the beginning, because this is built. Our podcast does build, the principles build on one another. Mm-hmm. That I was engaging in behavior that I would feel very insecure in my relationship, and then I would sense that Ben was pulling away, which then would make me be very volatile and kind of explode. It was like there would be so much tension that then that was the only, literally, okay, I'm not exaggerating, that was the only way I knew how to get through it. That was the only pattern that I had ever seen my entire life. It was the only way I knew how to resolve conflict, was to make it get to a boiling point that it would explode and we would hurt each other so much that then there had to be resolution. And that is so unhealthy, so ineffective. But I literally didn't know any other way. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to have understanding. I didn't even recognize the patterns for years. It's just what I had known. And so it's what I brought into the relationship. And so it had to get to a point where Ben would say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm leaving the room. Kind of that cutting it off right where I thought it needed to go and not rewarding that behavior anymore. And communicating to me that this is not okay anymore. And so I was on the other end of the healthy boundary, and he did that with a clear expectation and knowing that it wasn't punishing me, that he was understanding that it was hurting us both. It wasn't effective. And then giving a healthy alternative, like when you're in a calmer place, then we can talk about this again. Just like we now, I've learned that that's what we do and that's how we teach our clients. And that's what I learned to do. So that we didn't do that. The appropriate consequence was that if I was engaging in that kind of cycle and trying to escalate things, because that's what I would do, I'd escalate things, and he would cut it off. And that was appropriate consequence. And for me, it was like, oh, wow. It was a wake-up call. And it helped me recognize and learn that there was a better way of doing it. And I didn't have to go through that cycle anymore. For me, it was relieving and it was freeing. And at first it was hurtful and hard, but it led to a healthy situation.
Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah. Heather and I are very clear that we don't want to give the impression that we're perfect people all the time. Nope. I mean, me, myself, it's funny because the first thing that came to my mind when we're kind of discussing the topic was also like a fault of mine. You know, it's funny that you were sharing some of yours, but like, for me, I'll admit that I have in the past, I've engaged in some unhealthy behavior. It's very personal. I'm not going to get into too many details, but I want to illustrate what has really helped me with this. Throughout my marriage with Jen, the amazing thing about her is that she has always approached these sort of problems with a lot of understanding rather than a lot of blame towards me. And this is what has allowed me to be able to come to her and discuss solutions rather than clash with each other. So when I've been making mistakes in my life, she has almost always come to me trying to understand what's going on with me and working through it with me. And so this is an example here where the consequence wasn't necessarily punitive. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing. The consequence in this case is that she would always come and hold me accountable for my own behavior and that she would support me through that and not just let it slide away like I wanted to. I just wanted to let these things go. She would come to me and say, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And, you know, because I love my wife, because I want my marriage to work, I would work with her on those things. I brought this up specifically to point out that the consequences are not always a negative thing. It's not always, I'm going to remove myself. I'm going to do this thing that's bad for you. I'm going to, you know, take this other thing away. Sometimes the consequences can mean accountability and support. And, you know, my wife has been amazing for me in that regard. So there's a whole list of other questions here. Do you want to get to these questions or do we need to wrap up, do you think, Heather?
I just want to touch on a few more things. Sometimes you're wondering if a healthy boundary is warranted. And I just want to point out that with a lot of our clients and even ourselves, sometimes we don't even recognize that we're in some really unhealthy cycles. And so that's why it's really important to get some outside perspective mm-hmm. on what is okay, what's not okay, and then how to frame it in a very loving and understanding way. And when you do it like that and you say, I care about you, I want us to respect each other. I want us to have greater understanding. I want us to feel safer in the relationship. And then, you know, even working together on how you can do that, if your, you know, partner is open to that, is the way that we want to go about it. And so if something feels off, then it probably is, but I don't want you to like freak out. I think that it's really important that you get the right perspective from someone maybe on the outside that can see it a little bit clearer. And knowing that, I don't know, I think that the other point I really wanted to touch on with myself was that, like I said, I didn't know any other way of doing it. And I wasn't intentionally trying to hurt Ben. In fact, I thought it was the only way that relationships could resolve. That's what was modeled for me. And that's what I had experienced for years. And so I wanted resolution at my core. I wanted us to be unified and loving and understanding and connected. And I thought that that's the only way I could get there. And so I guess having compassion for those that are engaging in unhealthy behavior they might not know any other way either. That might be the only way that they know how to cope. That might be the only way that they see happiness or security for themselves, or the only way that they know how to process through things. And they may actually, more often than not, I would say that at their heart, they're really wanting positive things. And so if you can both understand what those positive results are, then you can work on those healthy alternatives, a different way to go about getting the thing that you actually both really want.
Yeah. And I think, once again, this is where our approach is very different from others. You know, a lot of times when people are talking about boundaries, it's what do I need to do to protect myself? And what do I need to do for me? And, you know, when we're trying to look at the relationship in terms of, being healthy long term, it's more of this collaborative approach, this understanding approach, this idea that, the person who is quote unquote the offending party, there's probably some good reasons why they're doing what they're doing, whether it be because that's all they know in terms of what works, or because any number of other things. There, when you just approach it with kind of a hard line and zero understanding, you're so much more likely to run into those brick walls, into those situations where no one can win, or at least where someone's going to lose, which is not a situation that I think is ideal for a marriage. So,
agreed. Well, we could go on about this, and it is so important. I think that it's crucial that we understand that these things are a process. They're not something that we learn. And Mark and I have tried to show some illustrations of what it looks like, what the anatomy of a healthy boundary actually is, how you go about having that conversation, how to know if it's the right time in your relationship, and to do it in a way to make sure that you pull them toward you by showing understanding, by showing respect, by having clear expectations and following through so it's actually effective. There's a lot to that. And I'm not going to lie, there's a lot to that. And so please reach out to us if you need more help with this. That is what we're here for. And that is what our coaching program is for. And you can always apply for a free breakthrough call with us over at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And we can talk about how we might be able to help you in your situation so that you can be secure. You can have peace of mind. You can have a sense of freedom. The other side is costly. It costs our hearts. It breaks our hearts. It costs our feeling of security. It costs us so much emotionally, mentally, even financially, to go through years of having unhealthy behaviors in a relationship. And if your spouse is pulling away from you and there's still unhealthy things going on, then it's going to be even more costly to you and to your children and your family if you don't learn how to set those healthy boundaries. So I really encourage you to take action on that. All right, let's go to our marriage myth buster. Yeah.
So I had to think about this because I always like to tie this to the topic for the week. In this case, this is one actually I've heard even a few times even within the last week, because this is not such an uncommon idea. The myth here is that it's a sign of weakness to share your struggles and emotions with others. I tend to hear this a little bit more from men, at least explicitly, but it comes in different flavors. So with the men, this tends to come out as like, I shouldn't share emotions, I shouldn't be emotional, I shouldn't share that I'm struggling with something because then I'm not manly. And with women, it tends to come out as, I shouldn't share my emotions with people. I'm making some stereotypes, but this is just what I tend to see a little bit more commonly. It tends to be with the women, like, I shouldn't share these things because they're not going to care, or I'm going to be rejected. They're not going to listen. So it's all in all kind of an idea that sharing is not a good thing, sharing weakness and struggles and such. And in my opinion, this is an unhealthy view, because I think the very definition of a healthy and strong relationship is one where both partners can be completely open and vulnerable with each other, especially in moments of weakness or need. I think the one of the things that has brought me so close to my wife is the fact that she can be 100% vulnerable with me, that I can be vulnerable with her, and that we will support each other when we're low. It's been such a comfort to know that Jen will be there even if I'm not doing well, and she's going to support me with that, and vice versa. The thing is, sometimes we put some limitations or boundaries around ourselves. We don't allow for certain experiences because of fear, whether that is because I won't be seen as manly or because this is not a safe situation. But this is where it ties into the subject for the week. It's because we've already set up these boundaries or these limitations on ourselves. And some of the same principles can be applied here. So, we might set a new expectation, as in, you know, it's really good for our relationship to be open and vulnerable with each other. And we need to have some understanding of why we don't do that, why we engage in this behavior of holding back and not being open with our spouse. Maybe it's because of that fear. Maybe it's because of ourselves being not good enough, feeling like we're not good enough. And we need to have some healthy alternatives. If you feel like your spouse is going to reject you or not be open to some of these things, maybe there are boundaries that need to be in place in order to make this more safe, in order to make it so that you can be more open and vulnerable with each other. And, you know, as long as you're setting that expectation well, setting the idea that we need to be more intimate, more connected, more close, many people who are wanting that deeper relationship would be open to the ideas of improving that kind of aspect of their marriage. Otherwise, you know, you have these consequences. And once again, this isn't that punitive approach, but if we are not being open with our spouse, you know, the consequence could be that you keep coming back to the idea and looking at how you can improve, looking at, you know, coming back to the drawing board and supporting each other with new ideas and new ways to make things safe and new ways to be more open. Like I said, this is kind of a different way of looking at a boundary. This is almost like a boundary of expectations of growth and expectations of deepening the relationship rather than expectations and boundaries to keep things safe. But I do think that so many people limit how deep that they can go in a relationship. And I wish all of you could have the kind of deep level, open relationship that I share with my wife, Jen, and, you know, that Heather talks about having with her husband, Ben. But anyways, that is the myth, is that if you are seen being open and vulnerable, sharing your struggles and emotions with your partner as a bad thing, as a weak thing, I can tell you that you're in the wrong place, and you need to rethink your stance on that and maybe how you might approach those situations. Anyways, my thought, my myth buster for the week here. So
I'll just add a quick thought to that what I've seen and in my life and what's allowed me to experience the level of connection and intimacy and being able to share struggles, being able to share emotions, share the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it was really healing that from within first and recognizing that self-love and self-acceptance had to come before allowing love and acceptance from another person. Because if we're not there ourselves, then we'll continually push it away and continually reject it. And that's why our program focuses on that mindset and on removing limiting beliefs and working on that deeper inner confidence, that deeper inner trust of yourself and deeper inner love for yourself. So that's kind of what helps bring it all about. So thank you, Mark, for that. And thank you everyone for joining us today. Next week, we're going to share with you what makes a marriage work. We saw a lot of comments here that marriage is hard, even good, strong marriages. They do have their moments. And so we want to make sure that we're not just surviving marriage, but that we're truly thriving. So what makes a marriage work? The essential elements that can make any marriage into a thriving marriage. So we're really excited for that. Thank you, Mark. And we will talk to you all next time.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.